and about the Word of God, but that's going to have to be next week. Because after watching yesterday and knowing that we're in a very tense political season, and we're watching all kinds of things up until last week, up until yesterday, it was all about Biden and his age and his fitness. And then after yesterday, when they saw, I'm telling you, it was divine, a divine appointment and divine shield that kept Donald Trump from being shot in the head. He was just, if he moved a quarter inch, it would have took his head out. And we've been talking about his death today. So I'm telling you, there's something going on. There's something stirring in this last day, and we got to be ready for it. Now, I would like to preach a there, child sermon. I'd like to preach one where I could just bring you all up and hug you and love on you and say everything's going to be all right. But this morning, as I was working, I've been working for 2 days strong on this Bible, spiritual warfare and willful ignorance. And the Lord this morning got me. And I wish he'd have got me yesterday, but he got me this morning. And I wish he'd have got me before I was getting ready to leave for church. But I think what he wanted was me to stay out of the way. He wanted me to just get out of the way so he could do something this morning. So instead of a there sermon, I want to preach here we are sermon, okay? Here it is. Y'all say this with me. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Our land, if it's never needed a healing, today our land needs a healing. So let's pray. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for all that you do for us, God. I thank you, God, that you got everything under control. Lord, I thank you, God, that your body was broken for healing of this land. I thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for healing of us. And I ask you right now, Lord, to touch, Father, all of us, God, and help us, Lord, to know what you're saying in this final hours, Lord, before you come back. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now, of course, if my people who are called by my name, who are called by his name? We are called by his name. We proclaim to be children of God, and we belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. If they'll humble themselves, pray and seek, and they turn from their wicked ways, this is a promise, then I will hear, and I'll forgive, and I'll heal. So real quickly, I'll say it's going to be quickly. I just jotted this down, so I'm going to sit right here and mess around with what I jotted down. God is so good. Look at somebody and say, God is so, so good. How many knows that God encourages humility? God encourages prayer. God encourages us to seek his presence. Doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, claim no affiliation. This is not about who's right and who's wrong, because I promise you, the Republicans are not all right and they're not all wrong. The Democrats are not all right and they're not all wrong, because we're all human. And God says the problem now is y'all have got too human on me. Come on. Some of you are having problems of your own right now because you got too human on God. God says you got to trust me. You got to seek me. You got to know that I got you. Charles Spurgeon says, prayer moves the arm that moves the world. Wow. Prayer moves the arm that moves the world. This verse here is a promise and it's a hope. And it invites us, number one, to humble ourselves before the Creator. Not stand and say, well, I'm right and they're wrong. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Stop it. Just stop it. They ain't know who's right and who's wrong. God is right. And we need him. Okay? Simple. God is right. If we seek him, the rest of it will fall into place. Because I promise you, out of every one of us in here, none of us will agree on everything every time. Amen? So he tells us to humble himself and to pray. Now, if the church has ever needed revival, it's now. We need God's a restoration of God's sovereignty, not only in our lives, but in our church and in our country. God's sovereignty. But they're pushing God as far away as they can push him, and the farther they push him away, the worse it gets. So how do we get God's sovereignty back with us? How do we become somebody that can be humble before God, can pray before God, and see things happen? How can we release his fullness of blessing in our life? How can we see him do this? We got to trust, and we've got to let God be God. First off, you got to recognize there's a need for revival. Look around you. After you look around you, I want you to look within. Get ready. Everybody close your eyes. Have you noticed a certain spiritual dryness that pervades our society? Have you noticed a spiritual dryness that is even a personal problem? I'm dried up. I'm dried up, I'm tried up, I'm worked up, I've done all I can, God. Just dry. What we need is, after walking through the desert, thirsting for more water, is to feel that same way about God. God, I got to have you. I got to have something deeper. God, I got to have you. You can open your eyes now. I got to have you, God, more than ever. Our country is divided more than it's ever been. There's people celebrating that Biden is having health problems. There's people celebrating that Trump had an assassination attempt. We should not be celebrating either one of them. We should be praying for both of them. Amen? Because in the end, one of them is going to wind up being our president, and whoever's our president, we want them to do the best they can. So we better be praying for both of them. Amen? So a revival is not just a series of meetings, but it's a movement of the Holy Spirit bringing a fresh outpouring of God's presence and God's anointing and God's power. And we need it now more than ever, and we need it in a very profound way. So what's the first sign that there's a sense of spiritual dryness? I'm going to go ahead and help you out here. If you check in these boxes, don't worry about the other people beside you. This is your box. Just have four imaginary boxes in your head. Guys, that's pretty easy. Can we compartmentalize? Ladies, really try hard. Four boxes in your head. The first sign of spiritual dryness is we're just going through the motions. No passion. No faith. When we pray, we feel this empty. Our worship feels hollow. We're just like the Israelites in the desert. So number one, we're just going through the motions. If you check that box, you ain't got to raise your hand. Just check it and hold on to it. Second sign is a lack of spiritual growth. We're attending church regularly. We're reading our Bibles. We're praying. I promise you, I'm preaching the word. You're getting the word. But the problem is so many times we get oversaturated with the word because we are not growing because we're not using what we're hearing. And if we're not using what we're hearing, if I eat a steak today, if it didn't digest, I couldn't eat another steak tonight and another steak the next day because I would be blown up. I got to digest it and I got to let it do its thing. And if you hear the word of God every week, and then you put down your Bible and never touch it again till next Sunday and never read it again and never even try to do what you heard, it's like eating a steak and nothing working. It's stuck. And you eat another steak and it's stuck. And another steak and it's stuck. And then you get to church and you're going, oh, I can't think of anything else if I'm so full. We got to start digesting what we're hearing and start growing and experience and transformation in our life. Number three sign of a lack of dryness is there's a lack of spiritual growth, there's a lack of spiritual power. We might be doing all the right things, but are we seeing results? I was in food line the other day, and I noticed a schoolmate This schoolmate had been a pretty hefty person, and this schoolmate came up to me, and she had lost 50, 60, 70 pounds, and I didn't want to say anything, but she looked sick. I wasn't going to say, hey, are you sick? She said, pray for me. That was her first challenge, not mistake, challenge. She said, pray for me, brother. I said, why? She said, I've lost 60, 70 pounds. I got this problem up here and right here. My digestive system, and if God don't touch me, and I said, right about the freezer section, I said, put your fingers out. She put her fingers out, and I said, this is anointing oil. It's a balm, but it's an oil, and I did that, and I said, put your hand out, and I did that, and I said, I want you to lay it where it's hurting, and she laid her hand where it was hurting, and she closed her eyes, didn't realize that I was going to do my finger too, and get her right here. So here we are, people walking through the freezer section, and she's holding her hand right here, and all of a sudden I go, put a little cross, and I do like that, and she goes, whoa! And I said, Lord, touch this woman right now. She needs prayer, and I don't want to forget about it when I get out in the parking lot. Touch her right now. And it's amazing because she's been, whoa, I felt that. And she said, bye. Just in case I got another app, in case I was going to pray for her again, she wouldn't be out of there. We're doing the right things. Do you feel like your prayers go unanswered? Do you feel like the gospel goes on deaf ears? And number four, the fourth sign that you're dry is a lack of spiritual fruit. We're all busy with so many things religious activities, and do it for others, but are we producing fruit? And the fruit is, of course, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in all areas of our life. If you checked 1, 2, 3, or 4 of those boxes, I hate to be the bearer of some rough news, not bad news, rough news. You're dry. But the good news is God is ready and God is willing to bring revival. He's ready to pour out of His Spirit a fresh anointing in a fresh and powerful way. He's ready to bring a spirit of renewal and refreshment to our dry and weary souls. He brings growth and transformation. He wants you to have power more than you want it. He wants you to be powerful more than you want to be powerful. But revival doesn't just happen. It requires a response for us. It requires that we humble ourselves and we pray and we seek God's face. So, watch this. 2 Chronicles 7:14 provides the blueprint for this restoration. Number one, it begins with a call to humility. Humility is not a sign of weakness, but it's a recognition of our place in the grand scheme of things. I remember D.C., we were at a farm school in Johnston County. D.C. was a great big fish in a little bitty pond playing football. I mean, he monstered over everybody. And he was just running over everybody like crazy. And then he went to South Johnston High School, 4A school. And I went out to pick him up from practice one day, and I said, man, these guys are big. And I'm looking all around, and I'm trying to find DC's number. I'm looking all around, and I was looking right here at everybody's numbers to see DC's number. And finally, I had to go down one to see DC's number. Because now he was a little fish in a big pond. Some of us walk around here like we the big fish in a little pond. God don't like that. I'm one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. God wants us to humble ourselves. Humility is not weakness. Humility is strength under control. We have to acknowledge that we're not the center of the universe, but rather we're just part of a larger system that God's got going on. So first off, we got to humble ourselves. And sometimes that can be a hard thing to do. Then we got to pray. Prayer is not simply asking God what we want. You know, before I leave to go to the store, I say, tell my wife, say, honey, how about mark on that list what you want? And she'll mark it. And when I get back home, she said, did you get all on my list? And I go, I forgot, or they were out or something. She goes, oh, man, that is not what I needed. I needed that list. Sometimes we do that with God. We give him our list. Here's what I want. Get it, buddy. Get it. You tell him, bro. We give God our list. And when he don't answer our list, have you ever been to Walmart or the food line and seen the people doing the shopping for the people that called it in? And they're pushing these big things around and picking them up and sticking them in a box and picking them up, sticking them in a box, because they're filling out groceries for everybody else that's going to come outside and pick it up. I promise you, God's out up in heaven, got angels with that little bitty, with those boxes, pushing the cart and grabbing stuff. This is what prayer is. Ready? It means that we align our will with his. One more time. It means that we align our will with his. We seek his guidance and wisdom in all things. When we pray, I'm not trying to change God's mind. I'm trying to align my mind with his. Show me, God. Show me what you want me to do. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's got it in heaven, but he's using us to do it in earth. So, then turn from your wicked ways. Sometimes we misunderstand that word wicked. We think about that word wicked as we're out with drugs and alcohol, running wild and crazy. Nope. All that's part of it. Nope. Wicked ways means to do it our way. To do it, when you see God's word and God shows you and God tells you, then you just say, well, I got a better way, God. Just know that's part of those wicked ways. Because you just think you got a better idea than God's got. I promise you, you don't. And this can be the most difficult step of all, because it requires us to acknowledge our sin, acknowledge our shortcomings, and to not acknowledge our hard-headedness. God talks about hard-hearted. Well, where I come from, that hard-hearted, actually we call it, Mama called it hard-headed. If we turn from our wicked ways, we pray. He said he will heal our land. That word is not just, that word is Rapha. It means, in Exodus 15:26, God declared himself as Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Psalm 147:3, the psalmist declares that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Rapha. Here it says, I will heal their land. Rapha, that means, listen, to heal physically, spiritually, and emotionally. If you take pleasure in seeing either one of our presidential candidates fall because of health or because of a bullet, you need to be asking God to heal you emotionally, because something's wrong. God, touch us, heal us spiritually, emotionally, physically, politically, heal us. This is not a passive process. We got to humble ourselves, pray, seek God's face, and turn from our wicked ways. And that is not an easy process. But once you do this, you release the fullness of blessings in your life. Humility in its purest form is surrender. Just surrender. God, I surrender. God, I surrender to you. It's yours. It's all yours anyway. I surrender my need to be in control. Oh, come on now. I surrender my need to be in control. I surrender my need to have all the answers. Here comes a hard one. I surrender my need to be always right. Ouch. I surrender my need to be seen. I surrender my need to be recognized. I surrender my need to be admired. God, you see what's happening in this land. In order for you to heal it, you're going to use us to be the practitioners. I guarantee you, if somebody was to have a problem today somewhere and you called 911, they would send what you needed. They'd send the police, the deputies. They would send EMS to take care of your need. Because you really need to be helped at the hospital or at the jail or at the sheriff's office, but you can't get there, so they come to you and they bring you there. The world would be a lot better if they were in here, but they're not. So like the EMS and like the deputies and like the police, we got to go out and get them and bring them in. And when we do, it's amazing. So now, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's actually thinking of yourself less. Our prayer, conversation with God. And let's not forget that God's love for us is unchanging and it's everlasting. He's always here. He always is ready to listen when we call on him. He's ready to forgive us when we confess our sins. He's always there. He's ready to heal when we turn from our wicked ways. His love for us is so great that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to die that we can have eternal life. Right now, you can either come up here or stay at your seat. But I want us all, either up here or at your seat, I want you to make an altar. Put your head on the back of the pew or put your head up here. Either way, it's fine. Whatever's comfortable for you, because we're going to pray. Right now, everybody, put your head down. Either up here on this altar or at your seat, that pew in front of you, put your head down and put your hand up. The whole problem in coming to church is so many times we're putting our hand out. It's time to quit putting our hands out and start putting our hands up. God, I'm out here to get. I'm here for you to touch. You gave us a promise. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear and I will forgive them and I will heal their land. Pray as you feel like God's telling you to pray, but I'm going to give a prayer while y'all are doing this. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, thank you for your unfailing love. Thank you for your endless mercy. Thank you for hearing us when we pray, for forgiving us when we confess our sins, for healing us when we turn from our wicked ways. As we leave here today, help us to keep our hearts humble, our spirits prayerful, and our lives centered on you. In Jesus Christ we pray. And Father, I thank you, Lord, in this crazy, crazy time, for hearing us, healing us, and healing this land. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you, God, that we're not in this by ourselves. We thank you, God, that you guide us, Lord. We thank you, God, that we're not all alone, God, but you're here with us. And I ask you, God, to touch in a very, 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 very powerful way. I thank you for your healing touch. I thank you for your power and your anointing. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Touch us. Heal us. Inhabit us. Let us feel your spirit and your power once again. Let us be part of the connection to heal this land. In the name of Jesus. Help us, God, not stir Satan's fire, but help us to stir your fire. As your fire stirs in us, help us to stir it, your fire, outside. In the name of Jesus. You're a powerful God. You're an awesome God. You got this. You got it. You got it. You got it. We don't. You've got it, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, magnificent one. God, I humble myself before you. I can't do anything without you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord. You're all powerful. You've got it all. Lord, in the name of Jesus, heal this land. Heal this land. Touch both of our presidential candidates. Touch them too, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And Lord, help us to quit bickering and complaining, but instead help us to reach out in a very powerful way. Touch our Congress. The bickering's got to stop. They need to pull together. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And let us, Lord, put you back in our land, in our schools. Thank you, God. We see it happening. Keep on, keep on, keep on. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Go ahead and thank him for healing us. Go ahead and thank him, church. Let's get some power praise. Some power praise. Power praise. Come on and heal us. We thank you for healing us. We thank you for healing us. Power praise. Crazy praise. Next week, we're going right back to spiritual warfare. Although today was spiritual warfare, but in a different kind of way. Next week, we're going to go back. We got two more sermons on the doors. And then it won't be long, we'll start doing the armor. God is so good to us. God is so, so good to us. Y'all love God? Are you ready for God to move in our life? Are you ready for the dryness to be gone? Are you ready to see things happen? Are you ready to see God heal our land? Just remember, just like the guys in here that are EMS and law enforcement, y'all are God's EMS. Go out there. Help them. Help people. Bring them in. And remember this. If you just bring one person, just one person next week, the church doubles. Just one person, new person, the church doubles. You, not everybody else, you, one person. One wins one. And then if they keep on before long, we ain't got to have a place to sit. And I promise you the land will start being healed. Amen? The land will start being healed. I know this was not what everybody was expecting. I weren't expecting it either. I told Linda when I was leaving, I said, ugh, she said, what's wrong? I said, God just changed my sermon. She said, but you've been working on the oven so long. I said, yep. And she said, well, you trust him, don't you? I said, yes. She said, then go for it. God is so awesome. God is so awesome. I want to pray a special prayer, and then we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer and then the dismissal prayer. Father, we've come before you today. We have humbled ourselves. We have prayed and we sought your face. And Lord, we thank you, God, for hearing us and forgiving us and healing us and healing our land. I ask you, Lord, to touch both sides, Republicans and Democrats both. Touch them. Touch both presidential candidates. Lord, this is a free nation. A free nation. Let's stop this crazy rhetoric and just let the process work. And we thank you for it. Lord, you're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. You told us these days were coming, and here they are. But I'm reminded of what my mama used to tell me. She said, "Why'd you do that?" And I said, "Because everybody else was doing it." And she said, "So if they were all jumping off the cliff, would you jump off the cliff?" And I said, "No, Mama." Father, help us to realize no matter who around us is doing what, we don't have to do that. We need to be healers of the land. And we thank you for it. Healers of the land. And we thank you for it. Touch, especially right now, I ask you, Lord, to touch President Trump and that gunshot wound. I thank you for that. I thank you for all that you're doing. In the name of Jesus we pray. Brother Wayne, I want you to dismiss us in prayer after Luke's Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the